Go ahead and take your Bible, turn to the book of Jonah. We'll be in chapter 2 today. I'm going to put the title up there. I changed it 3 times, I think. But Running a Race of Destruction. Running a Race of Destruction. I had originally Running to Ruins, or Running, you know, a Race, but, you know, and I'll explain that a little more here in a minute, but the Christian life is much like a race, okay? You probably heard that, and the Bible, Paul especially, liked to use, illustration, and cause we don't know who wrote the book, or the debate about who wrote Hebrews, but Hebrews 12:1, it says, the last part of that verse, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and that word course means race. And he's saying, I finished my race. Galatians 5:7, Paul says here, ye did run well. And that's the ideal of, you were running the race so well. Isaiah 40:31, he says here, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. So we know that the Christian life is much like a race. And I want you to think about that today. And you know, that as we live our Christian life, it's like a race. And how well you run that race depends largely on the decision you make in your life. Like, I want you to know that. That how you run this race, the Christian life, depend on a lot of what decisions you make in your life. The sad reality is many believers are running a race in a manner that is ruining your life. You're running a race to destruction. I mean, you can look around. The church, more than ever, is filled with ruins. Ruined marriages, ruined homes, strained relationship between parent and children, rebellious, bitter, angry children, bitter and angry spouses, regret, heartache, feel the average Christian home. The reality is this. The average Christian isn't running the race very well. Now, why is this? I think that's what I want you to think about. Why is that? I mean, let's be honest. The statistics in the church are not much different now than the statistics outside the church or in the world. I mean, why is that? I mean, why is that? Why is it that most the average believer doesn't appear that they're walking this world, this life, with a flashlight, God's Word? Why is that? I mean, it seems like that so many believers, and let's just be honest about this, are falling and stumbling in the dark. Why is that? Why does it seem like there's so many believers that are not running the race well? I mean, you and I both know people like that. You might be here today. That might be you today. I don't know. Or maybe it was you at one point. But why is that? Why is that? Well, we can study for 5-10 weeks and give a very detailed answer. But to put it simple, the answer is that the average believer is trying to run the race their way and not God's way. That's the problem. The average believer, the average Christian home, is trying to run the race their way and not God's way. I mean, the average person, the average believer is trying to do it their way. Most people are trying to do marriage their way, not God's way. The average person is training children their way, not God's way. And the average believer is trying to live life their way and not God's way. They're placing importance on the things that they think are important, but not necessarily on the thing that God says is important. They're paying the price in areas that they want to, but not in the areas that God tells them to. That is it in a nutshell. I mean, by the way, we all pay the price for something in our life, whatever important to you. You know, you get up early to go to work, right? Why? Because it's important to you. Well, some people won't get up early to come to church. Why? Because it's not important. You do what's important in your life. And by the way, you make your kids do what's important to you. I mean, that's what a friend of mine, God Man, said. People say, well, I can't make my kids do, you make your kids do what's important. You know, you do what's important. And that ain't me anyway. To bring more clarity, the average Christian is ruining their life because they're running from the will of God. Okay, now this should have been preached. This should have been sermon number two, right after God's will, but so we'll be okay. All right. But anyway, I believe it was just waiting for a reason, though. It was waiting, you know, as I studied, I didn't approach the book of Jonah the same as I would a normal book. But anyway, that's exactly what Jonah did. Let me say that. That's exactly what Jonah did. Jonah, we made it real clear that we know that Jonah knew what God's will was. And Jonah said this. Jonah did this. And he said, I'm going to do it my way and not God's way. He ran from the will of God. That is what many people are doing today. They're running from the will of God. They're refusing to do God saith the Lord. That's what so many people's problem is in people's lives. They're not willing to do it God's way. Now they have every excuse under the sun, and they wouldn't call it that, but they're running from the will of God. But over a course of time, the reality is they're refusing to follow God's will. At some point, it's not a mistake, it's a way of life. If you keep saying, well, I just can't do this, at some point, it's not a mistake, it's not that was an accident, it is a way of life. And that way of life is ruining your life because you're running from God's will. You're running the race of life like Jonah. And the results are about as good as being in the belly of a fish in the middle of the ocean. Your life is filled with regret. It's filled with chaos. It's filled with pain. And probably one of the most devastating, in my opinion, your life is filled with hopelessness because you're running, you have decided to live your life your way, and you're running from the will of God. And if that's you today, then you are running a race of destruction. You may already be experiencing this destruction in your life. And if you're running from the will of God, you're running into ruins. Now, I want to preface this. Basically, if you're young, like Owen, he's young, right? Now, Brother Sonny, not. He's old. But I do like to make the point just to any of y'all, but I would like to say that running from the will of God can be fun, Brother Mark. Because there is fun and doing what you want to do. It may bring pleasure, but at some point, the pleasure is going to end. And it's going to be destruction. Proverbs 20:17, I said this morning in Sunday school, I love Proverbs. And it says, here's a good principle. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man. Well, there's one saying that doing something that's wrong, stealing bread is sweet, it's good. But afterward, his mouth will be filled with gravel. So, once again, running from God, it may be fun. It may have some pleasure, but it will result in pain, okay? I want you to understand that. Now, as we transition, let me remind you what God's will is, in case you weren't here for that first sermon on Jonah about God's will. I made the point that in Jonah chapter 1, we learned that God's will is clear, okay? So let me tell you, because everybody thinks, well, God's will is just mysterious vapor. I just don't know what God, if I just knew what God's will was, I would do it.
Brother Will?
Well, and that's when I said, well, here, I got it. Good news. God's will is simply doing what you know to be right according to the word of God. That's God's will. Once again, you want to know who you should marry? If you're not married, you need to marry someone who's saved. That's God's will for whom you should marry. That's pretty simple, ain't it? And how many people, how many Christians, if they would just apply that to their lives, would be a whole lot better off in their marriage than they are now. Ha! Huh. That's God's will. Hey, you ain't got no money, I can tell you what God's will is. You know, not to go steal money. See, that's God's will. Now, and if you'll do that today, you'll say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do today, according to His Word, 10 years, you'll be right in the middle of God's will. But what most people do is they wait until they're 18, what is God's will for college, or what's God's will for marriage? Well, if you're not worried about God's will today, then why are you worried about that? Anyway, so that's God's will. God's will is very clear. It's really the Word of God. Now, here's the thing. God's will is a choice. I talk about that. You can choose to run like Jonah, but I don't advise it. You can run from the will of God. And by the way, that's really the theme of the sermon, is running from the will of God. Okay, that's really, I want you to know that. So, you can run from the will of God. But why do we run from God's will? That's what I want to ask. What happens when you do? And how do I not do that? That's an all-important question that we're going to answer from a certain time in Jonah's life. When he was in the belly of a fish. Here's the context. Jonah has been told what to do. Okay, that's what you, today, you've been told what to do. But I mean, I get sick of that because this is it. This is what you've been told to do, okay? Go preach to the citizens of Nineveh. Jonah runs from God's will. The Lord sends a great wind on the sea, and as a last resort option, the sailor throws Jonah overboard per his request. The Lord has prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. While in the belly of the fish, Jonah prays. And that's what we see in chapter 2. Let's read chapter 2. And then Jonah prayed unto the Lord and his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cry by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of the hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the flood compassed me about all the billows, and the waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look. Once again, verse 4, there are spiritual implications too from running from the will of God. It's not just a physical implication. You know, it also affects you spiritually. But anyway, verse 5, the waters compassed about me, even to the soul, and the depth closed me round about. The winds were wrapped about my neck. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me for ye ever. Yet hast thou brought me up my life from corruption. O Lord my God, and when my soul fainteth within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came into me and to thy holy temple. Verse 8, that they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay thee. Then I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. We're going to take this prayer that Jonah prayed when he was in the belly of the whale, and we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at the reason for running from the will of God. We're going to look at the result of running from the will of God. And then thirdly, we're going to look at the remedy, how not to do that. We're going to look at that here in just a minute. Father, ask for the next few minutes, Lord. I know that. Once again, I know as they come today that a lot of people have got, heavy minds and even heavy hearts. I know they've got things that they're dealing with, Lord, even things they're struggling with, Lord, and I know that they, it may be all in you to come today, Lord, but I'm thankful that they're here. I want to ask you to help us today to learn your word. Lord, help them not to hear what I have to say, but Lord, what your word teaches us, Father, and really the things we can walk away from here realizing. We can all just get grasping. Your way is the best way. Now, there's no other way There's no other way to live life except according to you, Lord. We can just walk away with that today. And Lord, not to have to experience the pain and the heartache that Jonah had to. Lord, I know it'll be a win-win for us today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us like you did Jonah. Lord, help us, Father, to learn more today about that in Christ's name. Amen. Jonah ran from God. Jonah ran a race of destruction. But why? That's number one here, and all I got up here is the reason, and I didn't write it up there, but the reason we run from God's will, okay? So that's really what that means. The reason, really, why? We're going to answer, why did we run from the will of God? Why did we not? God says you should forgive people, right? God says you should be merciful. God says you should love your neighbor. Why did we not do that? Why? Maybe just for a moment. Maybe for a week. Maybe for 2 weeks. Why do we not do that? Why do we run from the will of God? Why do we not do what we know that we should do according to the word? Why? Why? That's what we're going to look here. Later in here, and we're going to see the devotion to idols. And you say, where are you going? Like, you're crazy. I might be crazy, but I am right about this, I think, from my studies. Look at verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. All right, here's the great thing. This is why you have to study. It's great to read the Bible, but if you don't know what it means, then what are you doing? And this is one of the times, I'll be honest with you, I don't really know exactly what that's talking about. Well, as I started doing some reading and studying, I found out. It's a statement to idols. Now, let me read to you in the New King James. That same verse. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercies. All right, let me read in ESV. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake the hope of their steadfast love. The New American Standard. Those who regard vain idols. Okay? So what happens is you study and you read me commentary, you read about Albert Barnes, Warren Wiersbe, and all that. I'm going to quote them here in a minute. But what that is, in verse 8, and he's saying those who observe idols forsake their own mercy. And basically the mercy of God. Okay? So the mercy that God offered. So what Jonah has recognized is what makes a man forsake God's will is idols. See, Jonah is in the belly of the whale. He ran from the will of God. Woo! He ran. And then he's praying his prayer and he's trying to teach us a lesson. He realized, he said, I have an idol in my life. He said, what happened was something other than God made me do this decision or made me choose this. You see, idols redirect your devotion and desire to obey God. It calls you to run after something other than God. And that's exactly what Jonah did. See, here's God's will. We're going to pretend it's God's will. Okay? Idols over here. And what he's saying is that something, what made him not go to Nineveh when he was chasing and serving something other than God. That's what he's saying. He said, I'm serving something other than God. And that's an idol, okay? Now stay with me. We see in verse 8, Jonah is definitely writing in the third person. Yet Jonah is definitely guilty of idolatry. That's why he's writing it. Warren Wimpy said this about this verse. Now Jonah admitted that there were idols in his life that robbed him of the blessings of God. Well, why? Because what he was talking about, you are blessed by God when you obey God. An idol is something that comes in and calls you not to follow God. And that's what Jonah said. Jonah said, there's something in my life that I was following and worshiping other than God. Now, what was it? Well, one room said this. One such idol was Jonah's intense patriotism. Jonah was so concerned for the safety and prosperity of his own nation that he refused to be God's messenger to their enemies. See, what happened was Jonah, patriotism, his love for Israel, the country of Israel, became more important than God. And therefore, when God said, I want you to go preach to Nineveh, he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because he had something that was more important in his life. It was an idol. He had an idol in his life. Jonah became devoted to that idol he had in his life. That idol caused him not to obey God. That's the nature of idols. Idols expect and demand all of your time, energy, and devotion and loyalty. And everything else is second, including God. Well, it won't be long for you to be running from God's will. Because your idol and God's will isn't going to be the same. Isn't going to be the same. And it may be your ideology. It may be your worldview. It may be whatever you think. A lot of people's idol today is what they think. What I feel. Even in church. What I feel. What I think. And many times that leads them away from the Word of God. Well, if that's the case, that's an idol. Your feelings and your thinking, your logic is not infallible. The Word of God is what's infallible. It's inerrant. You may feel so firmly about something, but you can be so wrong. The Word of God is infallible. So what is an idol? Well, let's define that. Letter B here is the definition of idols. Well, Warren Wimper said this. An idol is anything that takes away from God the affection and obedience that rightfully belongs only to Him. Albert Barnes said all things in which God, men trust out of God, anything you trust in besides God, I mean, it could be anything. It could be, and he said, it could be idols of the flesh, it could be idols of intellect, it could be, and I highlight this because this is where I'm at, idols of ambition. I'm an ambitious person when it comes to hobbies. Like, if I'm not careful, I can let fishing and hiking and I like to be adventurous. I like to go places. I like to see things. And if I'm not careful, I can make that become an idol in my life. It may not be a thing. It may be an ambition. It may be the idol of pride. It may be the idol of self-will. It doesn't matter. See, that an idol is anything. It can be an object. It can be a person. It can be an ideology. And it can be a way of life. I put in the American dream. The American dream is a lot of people's idol. It can be a pursuit of a hobby. It can be goals. It can be success. Some people are addicted to success. Me and my mom were talking. And we talked about, anyway, I wouldn't go there. So, it can be status. It can be an attitude. It can be fear. Fear is an idol. It can be money. It can be sin. It can be children. It can be one thing you see now, and what a lot of people are so concerned about is their children's success. That's why you see so many people who they can be going to hell, but they don't care as long as their kids are successful. As long as kids are driving a nice car, got a good-looking girlfriend or boyfriend, or it's the all-stars and all of them, that's what they care about. And by the way, you see that. That's become an idol in a lot of people's lives. Not their success, but their children's success. Anything that becomes more important than obeying God is an idol. That's why an idol is so tricky. It can literally be anything. Many of us have failed to obey Colossians 3:2. Set your affection on things above and not on things on this earth. Let me ask you, what are your affections on? What are your affections? I mean, do you have an idol? I mean, I'll just be personal with you. Like, doing hobbies and adventurous stuff can become very idolatrous in my life. I can't myself being grumpy, or not, I mean, I'm working at it. You know, not getting to go fishing, or not going to get hiking, or this or that. I can't myself getting grumpy. Well, should I be getting grumpy? It should be something I enjoy, not something I worship, right? I mean, even a vehicle. I see people love you, they get a vehicle, and it gets a little ding, and oh, well, it's just a vehicle. I mean, I felt a scratch on my bumper this week, or last week. I had no clue how it got there. I mean, I'm pretty, but you know, I thought, you know, it doesn't really matter. It shouldn't matter. I shouldn't love that. And that was the one thing I told my wife. I've really wanted a four-wheel drive truck for about 10 years. And I find the one thing I wanted, I told Olivia, I do not want that to become something that I worship. That happens a lot of times. That happens a lot of times. I want it to serve me, not me it. Okay, and I can go an example after that. I don't know what it is for you, but if we're not careful, man, we can set our affection on things up here, and it happens so quick. That's the definition of idol. Anything that gets you not to obey God. We see the devotion to idols. We see the definition of idols. Now, let's look at the description of idols. The description. Look at verse 8. Jonah describes them. It is very sobering, by the way, what idols are. It says they're vanities. Vanities. He said, the idols that I was serving are vain. That means vanity, by the way, means empty. It means worthless. Okay? It means worthless. It means worthless. Whatever, and by the way, and not to get us depressed and doom and gloom, but can't, you know, anything on this side of eternity is really worthless. Nothing lasts. But when you take something and you put it in where God belongs, it's worthless. It's going to let you down. If you make a vehicle an idol, guess what? It's going to break down. It's going to lose its shine. It's going to get scratches. You know, if it's a hobby, you're not always going to be successful. And what I'm seeing, as I get older, I see this with my dad, and he'll tell you this, when he's getting older, he don't have the energy to pursue that hobby now. He don't even want to part of the time. So, if that's what he's living for, how empty is that? Well, see, and maybe it's a relationship. Guess what? People die. People move away. I mean, if my mom and dad had made us idols in their life, well, I'm not there anymore. I'm 7 hours away. How miserable my mom would be if she had said, I'm going to make my children idols. She'd be miserable. She's still got her daughter, but I'm much better than her. So, you know, I'm the true blessed, and I'm the chosen one. But, you know, I think it's what Jonah says here. He said, I had an idol. Love for my country. But is that helping me now? No, it's worthless. And by the way, Albert Barnes says this. You know it's serious when I pull out Albert Barnes. I don't always pick him out. But, idols, one idol is not more vain than another. By the way, here's the first what happened. You see, my idol, you know, you may say, well, I think that might be an idol. But what happened on top of that was that whatever idol is in your life, you don't think it's quite as foolish as my idol. Well, Albert Bowen is saying that no matter what your idol is, it's no less vain than what someone else is. He said, what I'm saying here, in other words, whatever you're putting before God isn't the exception. Whatever you're putting in front of God is not the exception. Oh, and that's where we're at. Most people think, well, I'm the exception. It's okay. They should do this, but it's okay if I don't do it. It's okay if I'm strong enough, no. It's worthless. That goes along with Solomon concluded about everything in Ecclesiastes 1:2. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, vanity of vanity. All is vanity. It doesn't matter what it is, it's empty and worthless. Doesn't mean it can't be enjoyed or used, but it's worthless when you make it your God. It will let you down. Jonah's idol was his love for his country. But it didn't do anything. It didn't do anything but bring him down. It brought him down. And how he loved his country. And he was a patriot. But all that did was end up in a belly of a fish. Wow, that idol really helped him out, didn't it, Brother Mark? Man, he needs to keep doing that, don't he? Hey, once again, but here's the thing. We think Jonah is so ridiculous. You know, we do the same thing. We have things in our life that we're willing to serve no matter what, and we know, and it's not biblical, and it's like, you know, but once again, we're willing to serve it. It's empty. It's empty. Empty. Jonah not only tells us what it is, empty, but he also tells us what it does. And if you look at that verse 8 again, it says, they observe lying vanity idols forsake their own mercy. And the idol calls you to turn your back on God and His mercy. Idols will lie to you. It'll tell you, you can serve both. And by the way, that's what we're living in today, our Christian, and we're living in a time when Christianity is, you can go to heaven and still do exactly what you want. Well, that's not biblical salvation. You can have God's blessing, but you don't have to follow God's principles. That's not how it works. That's not biblical. Oh, but you can do both. You can serve both. No, you can't. Jesus makes it clear that you can't serve two masters. See, Jonah had an idol. Not an idol. Patriotism. And here's God's will. He couldn't serve both. That's how you can either do, you can't do either or. You can't be like, well, I'm going to do what I want 5 days or 6 days a week, and I'll show up on Sunday, and everything's going to work out in my family, and we're going to love God, and not work that way. You got to follow God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You cannot serve two. When it goes back to what a lot of people do, and I'm saying, they try to compartmentalize Christianity. Christianity is not just a 5-minute devotion in the morning, and Christianity is not just merely coming to church on Sunday. It's 24/7. You can't serve both. He said, what an idol will do, an idol will lead you down a path of unrighteousness, and it will go down to a dark road that will only harm you. The reason Jonah, and the reason we run from God's will, is there's some sort of idol in your life. It may be bitterness. I don't know what it is. It may be laziness. It may be the lie that, it's not that big of a deal. I don't know what it is. But whatever, there's an idol. And here's the thing. The result of following an idol isn't good, which leads us to the second point, which is the result. Number two, the result. What is the result for running from the will of God? And what is the result, okay? Well, I'm written here in Jonah here, letter A here, is the testimony. Jonah's prayer is written down for us to read. In a testimony on what he did while in the belly of a fish. Jonah prayed prayer and a testimony about what happened to him after he ran from the will of God. The experiences are negative. I wrote down a few things on what he was hurting. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. It says, I cried by reason of my affliction. So what's the result? Hey, hurting. We have so many people who are hurting in the world. We have so many people who are hurting even in churches. I mean, their homes are hurting, their marriages are hurting, their kids are hurting, everybody's hurting. Why? One of the things is because many people are not doing it God's way. They're running from God's will, just like Jonah. And Jonah said, I'm hurting. Hey, Jonah was hopeless. That same verse, he said, I cried by reason of my affliction to the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. And John McArthur talked about this denote a catastrophic condition near death. The fact that Jonah thought that he was good as dead in the situation. He was hopeless. I mean, he was hopeless. That's what it led him to. It led him to be hopeless. Well, once again, how many people you know right now have a hopeless feeling in themselves. I mean, that describes most people today, in church and out of church, hopeless. Why? Because so many people, saved and unsaved, are trying to do it their way and not God's way. They're hopeless. They have a what? Why? Because that's a result of not walking or doing it God's way. Even experiencing chastisement from God. Look at verse 3. He said, For thou hast cast me into the deep. You know who did this? God. God allowed this to happen. God allowed this to happen. That's the thing. Again, you, if you're not doing God's will, it's going to bother you. He was trapped. I mean, he literally was trapped. I mean, he went down to the bottom, to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars. He was trapped. I mean, he was literally trapped. He couldn't go anywhere. That's a result of not doing, so many people come and, or not come to me, but like, you hear people and they're like, I just don't know what to do. Well, you know why? Because you've made such a mess of your life, you've done it your way, you're right, there's really no good answer. There's really no good answer. You're trapped. You're trapped in your consequences. And you suffered spiritually. Verse 4. And then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Now, Jonah, just like I'll tell you, he had a relationship, but for a while now, he didn't have fellowship. You know, many people, I think believers struggle because they have a relationship, but they don't have any fellowship. They're not walking with God. They're not walking with God. I mean, and you know, like that, just like a kid. I mean, kid gets sent to his room, get in trouble. He's still their child, but he's not having fellowship. He's not enjoying the blessing of a mom and dad because he's in his room because he's been disobedient. Same thing true. We have so many people who are like Jonah. They're running, and they don't have any assurance. They don't have any, they don't get any benefit from their relationship with God on this side of eternity because they won't follow God and walk with him like they should. The results are running from God. They're negative. But why? Why ain't that? So is he a testimony? Let's see, let it be the truth. Why? So why? So basically here it is. It's bad. The negative is negative. But then why is that? Here's the truth. You ready? Why are the results negative? Here it is. Ready? Because pursuing your own plan instead of God is sinful. It's sinful. I don't know. I don't care what it is. When we say this, whether it's something big or small, whether it's something concrete or abstract, you know, whatever idol it is, when we say, I'm going to do what I want to, and no matter what it is, I'm not going to look into the Bible, that's sin. You can justify it, you can ignore it, but it's sin. And here's the thing about sin. Sin is always negative. That's why the result of running from the will of God are negative. Because many of us believe a lie that God's will end up bad and think we can follow all desires we want and way of thinking, yet the results are negative. Because here's why, because it's a sin. It's a sin not to do God's will. It's a sin not to do God's will. But here's the thing, brother Lord, here's what's happened, at least in my life, maybe not yours. But somewhere along the way, from 1985 when I was born until now, we started saying that God's will is college and who you're going to marry and what you're going to do from basically 25 until you die. That's not God's will. God's will is doing what you know to be right according to the Word of God. And here's what, when you don't do God's will, you are sinning. You're sinning. That's why the consequences are negative. The result of running from God's will are terrible. And that's the truth. It will leave you disappointed. It will leave you depressed. It will leave you destroyed. It will leave you hopeless. It will leave you trapped. It will leave you hurting. It will leave you miserable. Now, don't get me wrong. There's probably some fun sometimes and pleasure in running from God's will, but it don't last. And it's a return on an investment that's rough. That's the thing. Some of y'all probably testify. You probably testify. Even in your own life, in my life, we can testify, and we can say, hey, I know that's true. Oh, so many times, when we're running from God, we're like, oh, it's no big deal. And when the consequences hit, it's like, well, you know what? Man, no, God was right. I should have taken that more serious. I should have done it God's way instead of my way. See, the results are negative. We see the reason. We see the result. Now look at the remedy. What is the remedy for running from the will of God? Maybe today, maybe it's something small. Maybe it's been a lifetime thing. Maybe you're running from the will of God. What's the remedy? Well, letter A, realize you are wrong. Really, you see that in verse 8. I've already read it. I'm not going to read it again. But verse 8, he says, what I'm saying is that they that observe lying vanity forsake their own mercies. Right there, he's saying that because he's guilty of that. He said in verse 9, I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Here's the thing. He realized, Jonah realized that he had made an idol in his life, resulting that he was in the belly of a well. Hey, the remedy when you're running from God is to realize that you are going in the wrong direction. That's the problem. And we sit here and whatever it is in your life, you know, and you're like, well, it's not that bad. Okay, well then there's nothing else. And you might want to shut your Bible and go home right now because there's no, I can't tell you the second point. Because until you say, you know what, this is an idol, it may have been an idol 20 years, my attitude has been a wrong attitude, and the idol in my life has kept me from fully obeying God, then you're not going to change. You've got to realize that you're wrong. No matter how painful that is. That's exactly what Jonah did. Jonah, when he was in the belly of a whale, but Daryl, he realized he was wrong. And at some point, he realized he was wrong. So what do you do after that? Well, you return to God. I think our projector's messing up, but return to God. That's letter B, if you're taking notes. He returned to God. That's exactly what Jonah did. Chapter 2, verse 2. Verse 1. And Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Look at verse 7. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Know what he did? He went back to God. That's what you got to do. Today, if you know you're wrong, and I don't know what it is in your life, you're going to have to take the Bible. And you're going to say, God, I was wrong. Whether you happen to do this or not, you may already know. I don't know. But you're going to say, okay, God, I was wrong. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? That's what you got to do. You got to return back to him. You have to make a 180-degree turn. I can't help but think about the prodigal son. He was running, and I know it's a parable, but obviously he wasn't doing what was right. He wasn't doing what God would want him to do. And what did he do before he had a restoration? He realized he was wrong. And I know I've said it like 10 times, but it really does irk me when I see this on social media. God don't care, just come home. The prodigal son just came home. No, actually, he first said, when he had slop on his hand, I've sinned. And then he got to his father and said, Father, I've sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. What did he do? He realized he was wrong. And that's probably the biggest obstacle for unsaved, but also for believers who are running from the will of God. Whether you can reverse what you've done or not, most people will not just own up to the fact that they were wrong. They're wrong. That's what you gotta do. Most people just will not, and I'm guilty of that. It's hard. It's hard because we have pride. But it's hard to say, you know what, I was wrong. And especially if it's something, you know, like every time in my marriage, I've never told Liv, but I've said to myself, you know, like, you know what, brother Mark, I was wrong. She said I was wrong for 2 years. I was wrong. That's not easy to do. In relationships, but even in your own relationship with God, that's hard to do. But that's what he did. But here's the thing, too. The prodigal also returned home. He did go back to God. Don't get me wrong, he did. See, here's the problem. There's some of us that we will realize that we're wrong. Some of y'all will sit here today, and hopefully not me, but the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, and you'll sit here and be like, you know what? I've got some idols in my life. It may be hobby. Hey, it could be work. It could be money. And you say, you know what? I'm wrong. You may say, that is an idol. But then come Monday morning, you don't do anything different. We have some people like that. Well, that's not how it works. But then you got some people who they'll never even realize they're wrong. You know, they'll go through the motions. They'll come to church. They'll not even read the Bible. That may be where some of y'all's at. You do all the things, but you will not actually realize that you're wrong. It takes both. The remedy to quit running from the will of God and to know that you're wrong and return. And that's what Jonah did. Now, we know Jonah didn't have a stellar testimony afterward, but that's what he did. I mean, he said, there's two things. He said, I'm wrong, and God, I want you back in your life. And that's what you got to do. You got to say, I'm wrong, and you got to pick up the word of God, and you got to turn that flashlight on, and you got to let this shine the light. Okay, well, I want to go that way, but there's a church pew right there. Oh, there it is. I need to go this way. It may not be what you want to do. It may not be what makes common sense, but if it's what God says in his word, that's what you need to do. You need to let God, you need to turn back to God and say, God, I'm letting you tell me what to do. What you got to do. Not me, but what God's word says. That's exactly what you have to do. In conclusion here, we see the reason we run from God's will. Here's what it is. Idols. By the way, I wish I could do more study on this. I don't think we realize how guilty we are of idolatry. I don't think we realize how, literally, each of us, how guilty we are of idolatry. I think it's something we put things before God more than we should. I don't think we realize it. I know I do. You may not, but I know I do. In my heart, many times. What is my affection set on? That's why we don't do God's will. We see the results of running from God's will. That's negative consequences. Yeah, there's forgiveness, there's grace, but there's still negative consequences. What's the remedy? I can sum up in one word. Repent. 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 That's really all I'm saying was, realize that you're wrong and start following God. Repent. Repent. That's it. Repent. And let me say, I want you to understand, God's will is the best thing for us. This really is living a dream. This right here is truly living a dream. And you and I both, I can testify that anytime I get outside the parameters of the Word of God, my life is not so dreamy after all. Anyone? Anybody want to testify that right now? Raise your hands. I agree. It's true. But yet, basically, America tells us and the world tells us that living a dream is anything but following the word of God. I'm telling you. The dream, I'm telling you, no matter what it is, whether it's relationship, whether it's finances, whether it's home business, whether it's even hobbies, keep it in the parameters of the Word of God. I'm telling you, this right here is living a dream. And sometimes, let's be honest, we don't really believe that. At least I don't sometimes. This right here is truly living the dream. Well, let's do that. Let's not run from it. And we stand on our feet when our hands bowed and our eyes closed just out of respect for each other. And the piano player comes to play a song, you know me. I don't drag it out. But if God is speaking to you, and there's no way that I could possibly name every idol there is, but I mean, idol could be anything. It could be a way of thinking. It could be pride, it could be narrow-minded. It could be something in your life that you're doing that's an idol. It could be a sin. It could be a sin. I don't think I mentioned that one. But that's the thing. It could be anything. But let me tell you something. Many times we think of idol, well, it's going to give us fun and happy. No, it won't. Not forever, it won't. The best thing you can do, and the happiest as a believer you will be, and on content, let me say that, at peace, is when you are living your life according to God's will. As you begin to play, if the Holy Spirit has spoke to you, hey, I want to encourage you, come down here. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe it's something that just crept into your life. Maybe it's something that, maybe it's not only an idol, but it's competing. It's competing with God too much. I don't know what it is. Man, there's things in my life like that. And I told you Wednesday, one thing for me, you know what happened? You know what an idol in my life is sometimes? Fear. 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 I let fear be an idol in my life sometimes. What about you? And she plays, hey, I want you to talk to God.